Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Hoping you're having a wonderful holiday season. And maybe some people probably already have started to take down their Christmas trees if they have Christmas trees. Ours is still up, and we have some nice ornaments on it, and probably will be on for a little while. And I know Shirley Bauman, our guest today, knows quite a little bit about Christmas ornaments. She is a certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer. She's the owner of Bauman Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services, LLC, and comes by every so often to talk with us about collectibles and appraising them. And certainly if you have something that you have an interest in or wonder about its value, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Maybe you've got even a photo of something that we surely could even at least see might help her in coming up with a rough estimate of its value. And Shirley, welcome.
So nice to be back.
Nice to have you with us. Well, I'll tell you what, many of us celebrated Christmas just a couple days ago. You had some interesting information to share about Christmas ornaments as as collectibles.
I do. And, you know, the first decorated Christmas trees in the home, as kind of we know it today, started in the early 1800s. There were celebrations of Christmas before that, but the decorated tree in the home started in Germany about the early 1800s. But at that time, the decorations were berries and fruits and nuts. And by about the middle of that century, they changed to replicas of berries and fruits and nuts. I suppose the food didn't last long on the tree. They had a lot of apples on the trees at that time, and that supposedly is a reference back to Adam and Eve. The apples on the Christmas trees. But it wasn't until about 1840 that those Christmas trees with decorations became really popular because around the world, actually, because of Queen Victoria. She included a decorated Christmas tree indoors at her holiday celebration because she had married German-born Prince Albert. And they then had a tree, and that was published in the local newspapers and magazines of the day. And so then everybody wanted to follow the queen, just like a lot of times we do now.
Are some of these ornaments, do they have value?
Yes, they do. And there it runs a whole gamut. From the very early times, it was really about the 1880s, that ornament production in Europe, mostly Germany, Czechoslovakia, that area, became a big business. And so that's when we see much of the collecting starting, then 1890s on. And it was some of those Victorian ornaments can go up into the thousands of dollars. For example, very elaborate embossed paper decorations, ornaments. I'm just basically talking about the ornaments we hang on the trees, not, not all the other decorations. But something like that that might have moving parts in paper, or it had a steam engine and they actually had the paper steam coming out, that was so elaborate and still remain in that kind of good condition till now, are very valuable. There are other ornaments like, Victorians, they went over the top. When they were blown glass, they added tinsel and twisted wire and little cutouts of Santa or angels or whatever, called Victorian scraps on them. And those can go anywhere from maybe $75 into, I don't know, $350 or so. And then if you get up into the 40s, 50s, even 60s are collectible now. That was 50 years ago. There's people who remember those ornaments. They can be as little as maybe $3, $5 up to $35,
$50. Yeah, depending.
So,
wow. So there's some value in those ornaments that we put away every year and bring out at Christmas time.
And I think sometimes the good memories are the really valuable ones, but it's fun to look at the ornaments.
Helen in Madison has a question for you.
Unfortunately, Shirley? Mine is not on Christmas ornaments.
Well, that's all right.
I have some stained glass that came out of the back bar of a restaurant, and it's, I would say it's a tulip pattern. Several pieces, they are 48 inches long. Several of them are 14 inches wide, and then some are 6 inches wide. I assume they date back to at least the 1920s.
Okay, and do you know what restaurant they came from?
Well, yes, they were not here in Wisconsin. It was in Illinois.
But you know where they are. So the reason I ask that is sometimes when, like, the people in Illinois who remember that restaurant might be willing to pay a little bit more for that kind of glass than somebody here in Wisconsin that doesn't know necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So that might help the value in some cases. Old stained glass, when we see the big church windows come out, and of course they're a little harder to display, but we see them on about the $4,000, $5,000 range in the older, from the older churches.
Oh, sure, but these are
so not. These are smaller than that, maybe 14 by 48, 4 feet. You might be looking, depending on how intricate they are, in the $800 to maybe $1,000 range on that. Okay. If they're in very good condition, meaning color is bright, they're solid, and, and the pieces aren't cracked or coming apart.
Yes, they are, because I do have some of them hanging on my wall.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. I think you've got a nice little piece of Illinois history there.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Helen.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call. And let's go to Diane in Appleton next. Diane, hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
I'm calling today because I have a pocket watch that was given to my mother by a family friend, and it's 14 karat gold. It's a woman's pocket watch. It's on a double chain, maybe 26 inches long. It has an engraving in, but it's a Longines work inside, and on the outside and the front and the back case, it has a floral pattern, ivy or something, and a little angel's face on both sides.
Sounds very charming.
Yeah, it does.
It is. And I was just wondering about what the worth would be.
Well, you've given me a lot of the information, and I think you have something special. Of course, the price of gold is high these days, and that's taken the gold items into a different realm. Because some people are just picking up gold because they, you know, feel more confident having some gold in their possessions.
Right. I prefer to sell it to someone that would perhaps just want it for the watch.
Right,
and
to cherish it as the pocket watch. But that market does help bring all of it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who are going for gold value will only go so high, and then the collectors can go a little bit above that yet. The one thing about pocket watches, for some reason, men's are more collectible than women's pocket watches. And I'm not sure why. Men's are usually a little larger. Maybe that has something to do with it. But women's aren't that collectible. But that doesn't mean yours doesn't have value. It certainly does. And my guess with a Longines 14 karat, it might be in the range of 250 to 350, maybe even a little more, depending on the size and weight. Sounds like a very nice, nice watch.
It is,
and that's especially if it's working.
Is it work?
Yeah, it works like a top.
Ah, okay. Wonderful.
A lot of them are wound so tight they're not working anymore.
Oh, thanks, Dan. Thank you very much for calling. Ron in Rice Lake will turn to you next. Hi, Ron.
Hi. Good morning. Happy New Year to you and your guests.
To you as well.
Thank you. Question, going through some things in my father's farm attic, we've discovered some 1962 Life magazines that are about the John F. Kennedy assassination. And there's a issue, the one before, there's the one that covers this, and then there's the one after. They're in excellent condition, and I just don't quite know what to do with them.
That's a hard question to answer because that was such, excuse me, pardon me, a little bit of that winter cough here. So many people kept those Life magazines.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it was such a big event that they kept them, and they kept them really pristine condition.
Yeah.
You know, that's still my generation, our generation here, and so they haven't really appreciated much. Normally, if you have a whole collection, it might bring them up a little bit. But normally, we see them going in about 5, 7, possibly $10 an issue.
So they
really don't bring much money. But in the future, if you can save them in that condition, your future generations, they might see more because, you know, after a while they get lost, damaged, tossed, whatever.
Right.
Sure. Well, thanks for your help.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in as well as we talk with Shirley Bauman, owner of Bauman Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services, talking with her about appraising collectibles. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page and post there at The Larry Mehler Show. You can post some photos there, too, as well. Let's go to Mary in Chippewa Falls next. Hi, Mary.
Thank you. I have something I've always wondered about. I have a pair of puppets, and they're in absolutely new condition. They must be old. I remember my grandmother saying that Pa could, her husband could really make them dance. And they're the kind with the strings on, and real intricate and beautifully. They're like little dolls, you know, with a porcelain type. Now, I don't know if it's porcelain, but it's hard, face and hands, mm-hmm. and clothes that are just perfect. And one is a little girl, a little white girl, and one is a little black boy. And they're all costumed. It's, well, let's see. Pa must have died around in, I don't know, something 1919s and teens anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how old they are or where they came from or anything.
Okay. What you actually have are marionettes.
Yes.
When you have the strings on them like that, those are marionettes. And about how tall are the figures, the boy and the girl?
Oh, about 12 to maybe 12, 14 inches, something like that.
It sounds like they're very nice condition and something special for your family to remember. In general, because we didn't see... And because of America's history, the little black boy marionette is probably a little bit more valuable than the white girl. And that's mm-hmm. just the way it is mm-hmm. because we didn't see black children depicted that much mm-hmm. during that time.
It almost looks like a vaudeville. He's a little less well-dressed as far as, I mean, not in terms of how nice the clothing is, but is in how right. fancy the clothing is. Mm-hmm. And do you think they're a set?
I don't know if they're a set or not. Now, what you can do to look to maybe find out more information is when we have a doll or a doll's head, the manufacturer's name or sometimes it's just numbers or initials are often on the back of the head,
okay.
back of the neck, actually, under the wig. If you'd lift the wig up on the hair, okay. you might see an impressed name or number or mark.
Okay.
And that would tell us who at least made the head. And a lot of times the doll's head were made by somebody different than the body. And mm-hmm. a marionette is mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like it used a doll's head. So you can look there and find a name of a maker, possibly. And that would influence the value greatly as knowing that. And some makers are extremely famous and bring high dollars. Now, if we don't have any name on them... Marionettes aren't as much used today because people don't really know how to use them, right. Yeah. So my guess is you probably have something in maybe the $85 to $100, $125 a piece range, unless we can find a maker's name and find out it's made by someone famous.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Shirley Bauman, our guest. I'm Larry Mehler. Rachel Owens, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking appraising collectibles today with Shirley Bauman, and if you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join us. Facebook it at The Larry Mehler Show, or call us at 1-800-642-1234. We did have a Patricia on Facebook wrote in to say, I have a small herd of mercury glass reindeer, made in Germany, guess about the 1930s. Wondering about their value. They all have a fair amount of mercury in them yet.
Mm-hmm. The mercury glass is really beautiful if you look at it. Mm. It's got a real warm sheen rather than a high reflective gloss. So they're really a pretty glass mm-hmm. to look at. And we don't know how big the deer are, and that makes a difference. If we're talking small figurines, maybe 2-3 inches, something like that, mm-hmm. We would be saying probably in the range of about, from that period, the 30s, about maybe $20 to $25 a piece.
Okay.
So we don't know what a herd is, but we could maybe add that up mm-hmm. if we count the whole herd. And if they're larger, they would obviously go up from there with the size.
Let's go to Marty in Douglas County next. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good morning. About 20 years ago, some friends gave us a little painting. They bought it at a secondhand store. It's about 13 inches by 9 inches. It's painted on, it's a wooden stretchers, and then it's painted on skin, it looks like, rather than canvas. And the scene looks like something from South America. There, it's very primitively painted. It's completely delightful. There are mountains, a blue sky. There's some kind of crop growing, many people tending the crops. There's a horse, little house there. It's actually signed Manuel, M-A-N-O-E-L. The last name is harder to read. U, it looks like a backwards P, S-T-I-A. So Manuel Yostia, perhaps?
It's a Q, probably.
I wonder, Larry, maybe.
Yeah, it's probably a Q.
I'm not so much interested in the value of it. I just would really like to find out more about it.
Well, we do see in the older paintings that they might have painted on skin or leather. They used different things in canvas at this time. We also sometimes see paintings right on board, a thin board.
Mm-hmm.
And the old stretchers, you can tell in the back by their age. They still use new wooden stretchers in a lot of cases, but the corners are different. So if you see the little notches in the corners where the... there's like a little biscuit slipped in there. That mm-hmm. helps. And if you scratch it just on the back of the stretcher, you can. If it's darkened, you can probably see the little oxidation coming off, and your scratch mark will be lighter, and that'll help you determine that it's been around a while. I don't know that artist's name, but what I would do is search that artist's name on the internet. And, you know, it's really hard with a lot of these older paintings, especially coming from other countries. This could have been something they picked up at a street fair when they were traveling, where there were street painters trying to make a living, or a festival, or, you know, it's really hard to tell. So if we don't know the artist's name, we really don't have a lot of information.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Dick in Bark River, Michigan. Let's go to you now. Hi, Dick.
Oh, thank you again. Exactly, your guest is exactly the person to ask. I was, still am, an antiques dealer, and in the mid-1990s made many trips to southern Belgium to flea markets where people came from Germany, and where these, what I bought in any event were dozens of European figural electrical light bulbs, small, with the small threads, and they're beautiful, but I can't use them because the voltage is different in Europe, and I think they're from the 20s to 30s, you know, animals, Santa Clauses, anything and everything, and I made probably 15 trips, and 50 flea markets, and only ran across them a few times, but boy, was I happy to get them. I haven't, I know nothing of their value, but just to look at, they're beautiful.
They are beautiful, those figural light bulbs. This is in the early days of having electric lights on the Christmas trees. And so, you know, people first had candles on the trees for a long time, and electricity came into the homes, and they didn't go on the Christmas tree the first thing. So, you do have some early light bulbs, and when they are in good condition, collectors really like them. And you mentioned the small threads and that whole element that goes into the socket is going to be much smaller than we see today.
Absolutely,
from those older ones.
Yeah.
And value-wise, it kind of varies by, of course, the condition. and what the particular figure is.
Yep.
If we see Santa Clauses, they're always collectible.
Of course.
We see an awful lot of bears for some reason. Yeah. They're not as collectible. And if they're a little bit, let's say, unusual to see for a Christmas decoration, like a Native American and Indian and in, you know, the old West dress kind of thing. We see those sometimes, and they become more valuable because they're more unusual.
I know in postcard collectors, Santa Claus is with green, suited in green.
Suited in green.
Really valuable ones, yes.
Green, blue, or gold. The earlier Santa Clauses were not in red.
Right.
So they become more valuable.
Yeah. Plus the German paper Christmas trees. I won't take up any more of your time.
But those light bulbs can go, depending on what they are, in the range of about $20 to probably about $100 a piece.
Yeah, I've got dozens, but I'd have to get the technical information on transformers and whether they're direct current and what voltage and amperage to use.
And sometimes people collect them when they don't even need to. Want to put them in electric sockets. They just like them as an ornament.
Well, I'm glad I bought the 40 or 50.
Because
they were about a dime each.
Yeah, you did well.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, a dime each. That's a pretty good return on your money.
Mm-hmm.
Michael and Rhinelander, on to you now. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I tried to explain this. Fred Erbach is the owner of the, was the owner of the house and the sawmill and a big farm back in the day. And the Horse Dairyman magazine must have been a weekly flyer. And they got put together into a binder book, the Horse Dairyman book. And it said, like, volume whatever. And from, like, the 1898, 99, 1900, 1, 2, 3, and 4, I think is what is there, and some of them are in pretty good shape, but they got the mailing address on the front of each of the magazines, but then they must have been sent back and bound for Fred Erbach. And I was just wondering if you've ever heard of anything like that, and if that was just done special for him, or if that's how it was done. And it's got, like, the old recipes for cattle feed and the famous bowls, and it's got all your Horse Dairyman dudes.
Sure.
And I've never, ever thought about a value to them, but when I heard this show, I just thought I'd see once if you've ever heard of them, and if there is something to a value to something like that.
Okay.
Oh, sure. We've heard of Horse Dairyman, right,
no,
Larry?
Absolutely.
You can probably chime in here as being faculty in the agriculture school, journalism school here.
It's, Horse Dairyman, W.D. Horde, was very influential in getting the dairy industry in Wisconsin going, frankly. And he was a great guy. And Horde's Dairyman's been around for all those years.
And it is a Wisconsin-based publication.
Yes, it is. Still in business today.
Yes. And as far as binding them, that's still a practice that is done today sometimes. For a while I was an editor of a magazine, and so every year they bound the issues for me, so I have them all on my shelves yet, you know, in the nice bindings. So they would do that, and it sounded like the gentleman you were talking about might have been prominent in the community. And they may have bound them just as a gift for him for a donation or doing something special for the industry, or he may have just decided he wanted that done. So that binding isn't real unusual, but to have the sequential magazines from that early is a good thing. You were right, the labels on the front do detract a little bit because collectors of paper like them pristine and condition. It's just so important all the way through. As far as the year's bound volume from that era, well, I've seen a lot of individual Horde's Dairymans, and from that era, they probably go about maybe to the right collector about $15 a piece, a magazine, in real good condition.
Okay.
So having them all bound together, if you've got the 12 issues in a binding, if they're real good shape, what would that be? Maybe
$180
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. There you go, Michael. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Rich and Sullivan, we're turning to you next. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Happy holidays and happy new year to both. Our family inherited an old national cash register, because our folks were in the tavern business in northern Wisconsin. It's one of these thing weighs a ton. It's manual, in mint condition. It's very ornate. It doesn't look brass. I went online and I was looking at the brass models. It's a silvery finish, but,
yeah,
you know, with all these curly cues and kind of ivy things on the side, and it even punches up the no sale thing on it. And we're wondering if it's worth something.
Oh, yes, it is. Cash registers have a following, and those old NCR, you still see NCR for National Cash Register Company today. And those fancy ones are collectible, and people enjoy them a lot. Now, there are a couple sizes. There is one that's maybe about, say, 10, 12 inches wide, and there's another one that might be about 14 inches wide. And so they had a couple of different sizes. And I think that the finish on yours is nickel. They did make them in nickel. The brass ones are a little bit more valuable. People like that shiny brass color. But if it's a narrower one, and a counter card on the top of the register makes a difference. It might say, you know, thank you for shopping with us, or something on a little glass plaque that fits right on the top of the register. That adds to the value. But if you have the smaller size and the nickel finish, you might be talking in maybe the $250 range or so. And in the larger, wider one, of course, assuming everything's in working condition and all, that might be up into the $400 range. And we go a little higher than that if they're brass.
There you go. Thanks very much for calling, Rich. Appreciate it. We have Pat, who has a question. I have an old Windsor chair with a partial label underneath that says Wakefield Brothers Company. This is on our Facebook page. Anything Wakefield Brothers?
Well, the first thing I want to say is if it were a true old original Windsor chair, they wouldn't have had labels on them yet.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't be able to print labels in the time that they were doing that, and they wouldn't have stuck them on the chairs if they, you know, could do those things. So we're talking about not the original old Windsor chair, but that doesn't mean it's not an older one. I'm not familiar off the top of my head with Wakefield Brothers, but I'm thinking that what's come to mind is there's a company, Haywood-Wakefield, and that may be a predecessor of the Wakefield Brothers, and they did a lot of mid-century modern work in about the 40s to 60s, and their work has become quite sought after, Haywood-Wakefield. So I'd have to do a little bit of research to find out if the Wakefield company had anything to do with that. But in the turn of the 18th into the 1900s, turn of the century, there are so many companies making furniture, and we even had a lot of them up here in the upper Midwest. Michigan, Grand Rapids was a big center of furniture manufacture, that it could be from that era. And again, if a label is partial label underneath, I would, you know, guess it's probably not too much older than that, because those labels don't stay forever on a piece of furniture that gets cleaned and moved and such.
Right. There you go. And also on our Facebook page, we've got a photo here. Just got this from my dad. It was my grandmother's. It says, it's a camera, looks like, number 24 folding cartridge Hawkeye Model B. Still has film in it.
Ah, okay. Folding bellows are collectible. People like those. And it's that makes a big difference in value if the bellows there folds out, and if they're all intact, because on those folds they tend to crack.
Oh, yeah.
Because they get folded in and out a lot. So if that's in really good shape, that helps. The Hawkeye Model B is probably, from the looks of it, it could be a Kodak camera, and it's probably about 1930s. okay. in that range. And they're fun to have around. People stand them around as decorator items more than than working cameras anymore.
Sure.
This one probably in about the $35 range if everything is in mm-hmm. good condition.
Now, what about that film that's still in there? Can you take that out and get it?
I don't think so. If you do, I'd like to hear about it.
yeah, that would be cool. Of course, when you see the film in there, you right away want to know what's on those in those mm-hmm. pictures. And here we have another from our Facebook page, and you should go if you're listening in. Go and take a look at it at the Larry Mueller Show. We've got a pretty 12-piece setting of Carico Davoli china plates, salad plates, cups, saucers, serving dishes, gravy set, gravy boat, my goodness, casserole, Tivoli crystal water goblets and wine glasses. I rarely use it. My children do not have any interest in it. It's in excellent condition. Used less than a dozen times. What's the best way to sell your china or possibly donate it?
Boy, if I had a dime for every time I heard this story about china.
Yeah.
I haven't. I don't use it anymore. My children don't want it, which is exactly the reason that the sets of china are devaluing.
Yeah.
Because nobody is entertaining like that anymore. We entertain much more casually. A lot of people don't want to devote the kind of space it takes to house this kind of china set that they only use now and again. So that's a difficult thing. When you donate it, you know, there are a lot of good causes. Around the Madison area, a lot of people donate either the Goodwill, the Salvation Army, the St. Vincent de Paul, or the hospice resale stores are all good places. And when you donate something, you may actually come out better. In this case where china is selling very low, the last set that I sold was older than this, so it was a 12-place setting, and I only got $250 for it.
Mm.
And that went to a bed and breakfast who wanted to have a different set of china for 7 days of the week. So if somebody came and spent the week, they wanted a different set of china every day. And so that is a possibility, but that's hard to find, or the individual. But donating to one of these causes, what you would do is find what they're going for on the internet. You could do some of the research on eBay and those kind of places and see what it's going for. Now, when you donate, if your donation is $500, under $500, you can take your tax deduction. If it's $500 or over, you do need to have an appraisal done on it. So that's the line. And then there's certain other valuation numbers that say when you have to provide the written appraisal to the IRS, but yours won't hit that value. But you might have to have it. When you're searching these out, when you look at the replacement service websites on the internet, that is not fair market value. That is what we would call replacement value, which we might use for insurance purposes. But it's way too high because if you look at that, you add it up and you're like, oh, no, my china's worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But in reality, we might be able to get $250 or $400 for it. So you have to look at completed sales of your pattern and look on the back. It sounds like you did and match the maker's mark
maker's
on the back.
Mark, yeah.
And you should be able to get an idea for what it's selling for. And I think you probably do better taking the deduction on that than the trying to sell it at this time.
Joy in Eagle, Wisconsin. It is your turn. Thanks for waiting, Joy.
Well, thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And happy holidays.
To you as well.
I actually have two items I was interested in your guest's opinion on. One is a hand-painted salad bowl set with roses on it, and I believe there are four salad small dishes. There's a large dish and a bowl, and then the four smaller ones. And on the back it says made in Prussia. So I know it's at least older than World War II, World War I.
Yeah.
It's ceramic, right?
Yes. I believe it's China, porcelain, and it has some gold. There is some gold gilt around the edges.
Mm-hmm. The large bowl and the small bowls are really quite small.
Yeah, they're like a about like if you cup your hand, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that actually is a berry set, not a salad set.
Oh, interesting.
That's when they would serve berry sauce, you know.
Okay.
And so that's a berry set. And they often had a big center bowl and then six usually of the small berry bowls with it. So you have a nice set like that. And all in good condition. This hand-painted, they used to do, you know, beautiful work, hand-painting flowers on those kinds of things. You've probably, you have a set in about, oh, maybe, you know, $125, $150 set.
Okay.
And you could probably scour the antique shops or the internet and find a few more of those berry bowls and complete your set.
Great.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. All right, and Marilyn in Pewaukee, turning to you now. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi there. Good morning. I have a bubble light, one of those lights that you put on the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, when I was a kid, had a string of them that they put on the tree. And
so did my parents.
I've seen the replicas they have made out of plastic now. They look pretty good. But this was when I was a kid, and we were taking down the Christmas tree after Christmas. I took this one and just kind of, you know, hid it in my room. And I've had it ever since. I'm almost 70. So this thing is pretty old. And the last I remember, it was working on the tree. But the string itself, I have no clue whatever happened to that. My older sister probably had that at one time. But I just have this one light, and I know about 50 years ago it was working. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, and it's made of glass. You know, the original, and you screwed it into the thing. And when you took your tree down, you had to unscrew the bulbs and pack them in separately. And that. So I have just this one real bubble light. Does it have any value?
It does have a bit of value. Those lights, by the way, were filled with oil. And when they heated up, that's when they'd start that bubbling. And I do remember seeing those, too, on my grandparents' Christmas tree. A single one like that without a string and without the clip or anything else is maybe about $25.
Hmm.
If you have an entire string of them, it has all the clips, all the sockets, and in the original box, by certain makers, like Paramount, for example, would be one of them, they could go at about $450 for the box.
Oh, my goodness.
In a working condition like that. So too bad you didn't hide away the whole string.
There you go. Thank you, Marilyn, for calling. Appreciate your call. Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer, and owner of Bauman Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services. Our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking appraising collectibles today with Shirley Bauman, Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in today on the Ideas Network. Really glad to have you listening in. And if you have a question or comment, maybe you've got a piece you want have a question about, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Nancy is on our Facebook page and says, I have a Ingersoll Mickey Mouse watch with a metal band. I know it's not the first one made because it has made in USA on the face. What is the current value? Alas, I don't have the box.
Glad to hear that our listeners are realizing that the boxes do have value, because that's an important thing. So don't throw away the boxes from those Christmas toys.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Ingersoll Mickey watches were a little bit later, and Mickey still holds a lot of collector value. And I was at an auction last year where they did have one, and I think that Mickey watch went for about $175 into the $200 range, and it was working and in excellent condition. Not positive if that had the box or not. But I think, you know, you're talking probably in the $150 to $200 on that box or not. So it's keep it in good condition. Don't wind it too tight or get it wet.
All right, DJ in Barron, Wisconsin, on to you now. Hi, DJ.
Hi. You guys could have this show on once a week and probably fill up.
Probably.
Hey, just a quick aside. We had a, well, in fact, I still have them, a set of those oil bulbs for the tree, and I wouldn't recommend anyone putting them on their tree anymore. They get awful hot. We, back in the 60s, before we knew any better, we had two raccoons and two cats and two dogs in the house for Christmas, and the cat chased the raccoon, or the raccoon chased the cat, or somebody ended up in the top of the tree and it tipped over and we just about burned our house down.
Oh, man.
A Christmas to remember.
Those ornaments are probably better just hung on the wall and looked at or something, but they got really hot. But anyways, my question is, I, about 20 years ago, traded a woman some work for a Audubon print. And the last time you were on, I didn't scribble fast enough. You mentioned an appraiser or somebody that deals in Audubon. I don't know if he was in New York, Graham something, or do you recall that? Or
I'm not recalling that. I thought what we were talking about was illustration art, and I had contacted someone in New York.
I've got an Audubon print of... when I got them, I thought they were pileated woodpeckers, and it turns out they're the ivory billed.
Oh.
Okay.
And I thought that would be kind of a, you know, a sought-after thing, seeing how they're up in the air about whether they're extinct or not. But I don't know how old actually this print is. I know it's at least 20 years old because that's when I got it, and, you know, she claimed it was an antique. But I looked at it with a magnifying glass, and it looks like a litho print to me. You can see the little tiny dots. So what does that mean?
Well, a lithographic print can be a little bit older than the process we use today. The dots from today's, the modern printing, would be really, really all equal in size. The lithograph might not be that equal. Mm-hmm. A little bit different size dots on it, and, you know.
Yeah, it looks like a plate, you know, printed, and it has plate numbers and okay. That. But I was just wondering who would be the best person to contact with.
Well, I do a lot of the work on that, on those. I can do that. Again, there's so much with the Audubons. It's like when it was printed, which item, who was the printer, the size of it. We have the folio size. There's the elephant size, which are... huge prints. So there's quite a lot to and look at about that. And, you know, we could take a look at it for you if you wanted to contact me later, but I just can't give you...
Are you going to give an internet site or something out there?
Yes, it's Heirloom, www.heirloomappraisal.com, BaumanAuctions.com, or you can contact me at ShirleyBauman@charter.net. And that email is right on the websites, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll send you some pictures of it. Maybe we can...
Yeah, take a look. All right. Thanks a lot for calling, DJ. Appreciate your call. And typically for someone who's looking, you want to find a certified appraiser? Or what are you looking for?
Yes, it depends on really what you're doing. If you've got something that came in from grandma and you just want to have an idea to split it up between the grandchildren equally, you know, there might be a local antique dealer who is very knowledgeable about those kinds of things that you could use. But if you have official purposes, it's an estate, again, we talked before about charitable donations, maybe a divorce proceedings, that kind of thing. Then, or fire claims, insurance claims of any kind. Then you do want a certified or accredited appraiser who has gone through their training. And if it goes to court, they will ask about your credentials. And so you want to have one of the reputable organizations that train appraisers on your team there. And if you have appraisals that are going to the IRS, let's say for estate tax purposes or charitable donation, that person has to have, your appraiser has to have a credential that's called USPAP, which stands for Universal Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. And the IRS requires that plus experience and the other credentials as well.
There we go. Let's go to Beth in Waukesha next. Hi, Beth.
Good morning. I have two things I would like to inquire about. The first thing is I'm cleaning out a desk that we're giving to a grandchild, and I'm finding recipe booklets, things that I send away for the mail-in from Nestle's or from Jell-O or, you know, those kinds of places, anywhere from 4 pages to 30 or 40 pages. And I'm wondering whether a collection of those is worth anything if anybody collects older recipes. And then the other thing I have is I have a Howdy Doody marionette or puppet in the box, which I received as a child for a gift, and I was a child in the late 40s and early 50s. Well, through the 50s, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to know about the recipes and the Howdy Doody.
Okay, puppet. There are collectors of those recipe booklets, especially the older ones, and they're really fun to look at. Not only are the recipe good, but the recipes are good, but the covers on them sometimes have such fun pictures to look at. It might show, you know, a June Cleaver type mother in her apron and pearls rolling out the pie dough for spry lard or something like that. And they're just really fun to look at that way. And the older they are, the better. You know, Jell-O is a product that was around before the turn of the century. So some of those really old, like 1902 and 05 Jell-O booklets are really fun. And they would go in really good condition for maybe about $25. As we get newer into the 50s, 60s, 40s, whatever, we might be looking at in the range of $8, $10, $12 a piece in good condition with good graphics on them. So sometimes people just like to frame the covers and use them as decoration, mm-hmm. frame the whole thing so the covers become decorations on their kitchen walls. So, yeah, you've got a nice collection. And Howdy Doody has been popular for a long time. It certainly was in my childhood. And the puppets are nice. If it's a tall puppet, usually they're about maybe 18 to 24 inches in that range. And we're talking, again, probably the marionette.
It has the strings.
Yep. And in good condition, often the heads, they were made of composition, and that was like a combination of pressed sawdust and such. So sometimes those heads and bodies get chipped pretty easily over the years because they were toys. But in real good condition, today they're probably around the $100 range. And the reason they've gone down a bit is because, you know, the older people who are going towards retirement are those that are remembering Howdy Doody mm-hmm. really well from childhood, and they might not be accumulating as much anymore, whereas the younger people don't remember Howdy Doody. So it's kind of a thing where it's going down a little bit, and the Shirley Temple dolls are in the same situation. The younger collectors who might be coming up don't remember.
They don't remember.
They might know who she is, but they don't have a connection like, oh, every Sunday night we watched that on television, or every Saturday morning it was Howdy Doody time. So it's not quite the same nostalgia. But you have a couple nice things.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have an email from Linda in Ripon, wondering about a Green Bay Packer bobblehead doll from the 60s. It's in pristine condition. What do you think about that?
Well, there is a couple questions I would have to ask about that. Which of the players, or is it, or is it the coach from the 60s, and is it from one of the winning teams? You know, I have a good friend who is the vice president of collectibles from Sotheby's. And her line is always that deader is better when it comes to sports collectibles. So if it's someone who has passed on and is a Hall of Famer, it could be quite a lot more valuable than if it's a player that maybe we didn't hear so much about or was still around. So we'd have to know a lot, because a lot of different things. But a lot of those 60s Packers things, oh, I've sold collections of the program books that people go mm-hmm. to the games and get the programs for hundreds of dollars different times. So the 60s bobblehead, especially if you've got the original box, let's say if it was Bart Starr, one of the really well-known players, you might be talking into, you know, the $200 range on that, or maybe even a little more if you got the original box and everything's great. And again, that's a guess. Don't take that word for word.
Well, we have an email from Janice. I have a purple slag platter that about 9 by 13, scalloped edge with flowers, about 125 years old, small chip on the bottom that isn't visible from the top. The bottom has a bubble design.
Okay. When she talks about a slag platter, she's talking about a kind of a glass. And that would be a slag glass, and it was often, you know, not the most high quality of manufacture of the day. And they'd swirl a color in. It was probably a purple or amethyst color swirled in with a white. And so it would be a heavy mm-hmm. platter like that. For a while, slag glass was hot. Now it's not so hot. Things are market, you know, antiques are at market, yeah. just like anything else, go in and out of favor. So a nice, a large slag glass platter, maybe a 12, 14 inch at this point, is probably going to be maybe, especially a little chip on there, between the maybe 50 to 65.
Okay.
And whereas one time I would have probably said double that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shirley Bauman, our guest today, she is a certified personal appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer. So great to have her with us, and she'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, talking about collectibles today and appraising collectibles with Shirley Bauman. She's a certified personal property appraiser, registered Wisconsin auctioneer, and owner of Bauman Heirloom Appraisal and Estate Services, LLCs. It's great to have her back. She comes by every so often to be with us, and we're fortunate to have her today. And you've gotten in, Shirley, before we go on here, I wanted to ask you about your online auctions. Now, you've got something going that's kind of new.
Right, right. I started my own online auction system so people could hopefully buy with confidence from somebody they feel is local or that they know mm-hmm. where they call. They can get an answer, get an email from me, rather than some of these big corporation auctions that you might not know. It's run by mm-hmm. one person with a couple of helpers. And that person would be me, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right now we have an online auction up that's lasting until Thursday. And what it is a huge collection of Boyd's Bears, teddy bears.
Oh.
And they are adorable bears. They're so well made. And they were a collectible, you know, not antiques, but collectibles that have started. And these bears are dressed for Christmas or for different occupations, like there's nurses and mm-hmm. Sports figures and everything and imaginable. And they are just adorable, even if there's a lot of Christmas bears, too. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for some of those cute decorations with bears on them, teddy bears. And all of these came from one collection, one woman, and she enjoyed them very much with her grandchildren when they were younger. And so it was a great hobby they had together to pick out bears and see which ones they didn't have. And so they were always loved for and well cared for, and this collection is just in wonderful condition. So you go in and you look at the items up for sale and bid on them and pay online,
mm-hmm.
and we get them shipped to you. So it's an easy way to do that. You don't have to go out to a location and mm-hmm. find a special auction and maybe spend a whole day to get one item. But we're doing this on a regular basis, and there will be more auctions coming up. I've got a jewelry auction I'm starting on, work on, and an art auction. And in that art auction, for you Wisconsin people, there's going to be a lot of Owen Grammy prints.
Oh.
A collection from one gentleman of his Owen Grammys. And a lot of other art as well.
So how do we find, what's your website address for that?
It's www.baumanauctions.com, and Bauman is Bauman. And then you'll get to the front page and just click on online auctions and you'll see it.
There you are.
Keep watching. If teddy bears aren't your thing, there'll be something else coming soon.
All right. Well, we have kind of an interesting Facebook comment here, I think, mm-hmm. from Michael, who says, we have an old book. It's a first edition 1882 American Boys Handbook by D.C. Beard, who was the founder of Boy Scouts of America. He had it rebound in 1982, not with original cover, but all pages are intact. Other than what value I have, can you give a dollar range?
It's kind of hard to do that, but I can talk a little bit about it. First edition books, of course, are of what you want. The first edition, first printing are the most valuable. When you have later ones, sometimes they can still be valuable, but these are almost always going to be the most valuable, unless something happens later on that they made a movie out of it or something, then maybe that year is valuable. But original condition does make a difference. But look at the date here. It's pretty old, 1882. And Boy Scout collectibles are hot. There are a lot of former Boy Scouts out there who are collecting those things. And I was working with a client not so long ago, and her deceased husband had a collection, and she had no idea what it was worth, and she ended up selling it for $76,000.
Whoa.
So some of these Boy Scout things can be amazingly valuable. I would have your book checked out. Now, not having the original cover is a little problem. I hope it has all the cover pages that give you
sounds
the information.
Like it does.
So it sounds like it does. I can't actually give you a dollar value. I haven't looked at them real lately, but I do really believe it does and could have some significant value.
Yeah, so definitely get it checked. Yeah. We go to Joe and Mercer next. Joe, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Shirley. My dad was in the war, World War II, and he was in the Navy, and his friend was in the Army. When they both got out, my dad's friend gave him a pipe, a smoking pipe, and he said he got it in Germany. And it's a figure of a woman, her head, and it's very detailed. And it's got a case, and the case has like a red velvet inside. And it's almost like an alligator cover. And you actually smoke this, I guess, I assume, while it's in the case.
Wow.
And I don't know all that much. I tried to look in some old books in that, and they say the more they were smoked, the more the pipe would absorb the color of the red velvet inside the case. And this one's more of a, I don't know, an off-white color. And somebody had said it was meerschaum.
Yes, I was going to ask you if it was a white one. Meerschaum.
Right. I don't know if I said that right.
Yep, that is what the bowl is probably carved out of. And you don't smoke it in the case.
Oh, okay.
But it will still take on that color because of the heat and the oils from your hands, and it will kind of absorb a little bit of a pinkish color. It'll be real soft, but it won't be as, more ivory, I should say, kind of beigey ivory. It's not going to eventually turn red.
Okay.
But those are sought after. The woman is one, and the figurals are more desirable than some seen. So I think you have a very nice pipe there, and all in good condition. It's probably could very well be $125 to $175.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those
meerschaums
are very yeah. And of course the nudes, the female nudes, bring a little bit more than.
This one isn't that far down.
All right, thanks a lot for calling, Joe. All right, Nick in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Nick.
Hi, I just had a quick question for you. My father-in-law, he's a hoarder. He doesn't throw anything away. So when he was a kid, he got a Gene Autry book, and he didn't really like it. So they put it back in the envelope, the stamps around there. The thing is, as if he bought it off the shelf. I was wondering if there's any value in that, because we're trying to get him to get rid of some of this stuff. He's got antiques from the ceiling to the floor in the garage.
Yeah.
And my mom keeps yelling at him that, you know, she'd be nice if she could put her car in the garage.
Yeah. Well, I like to hear that when people have saved things, because then those wonderful things are still around. Gene Autry was the really beloved cowboy of earlier years. And you could send for all kinds of Gene Autry things, you know, in the mail. And that was a big thing, to listen to the radio and then send in for your Gene Autry item. Those Western cowboys, again, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, and that do have following. The fact that it's in excellent condition is a good thing. A colleague of mine, an auctioneer here in Wisconsin, had a big collection of Western memorabilia not so long ago at auction, and she had some nice books going in the $35 to $50 range in there. Now, we don't know, again, if it's a first printing, if it's you know, all of those yeah. kinds of things we'd kind of have to look at. But I think, you know, being in that excellent condition that you described, in the right hands, it could be going for, you know, a fair amount.
Well, there you go.
I think you can convince them to get rid of it.
There you go, Nick. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Irvin and Burnett, on to you. Hi, Irvin.
Hello there. I have two old 5-inch by about 6-inch glass negatives. They were taken prior to World War II over in India. My uncle was a missionary there. And then I also have some very interesting what were called old ink bladders. And one of them is even copyrighted from 1921. It's from like Republic Coal and Coke Company. And they were out of Chicago. And then like Carl Brand baking soda. Well, the Republic Coal, she has a picture of Betty on it from the 20s era with a hat. And she's got a like a fur scarf on and bluish. And it's just a headshot, more or less. And then the Carl Brand baking soda, they are out of Church and Dwight Company out of New York. And then another one is from Mentholatum. And it's got a picture of a little girl dressed up in a nurse's uniform and says below the and a boy sitting on a stone and camping in the background with tents. And it says, the little nurse for little ills. It's Mentholatum. And I know they're all old because they're old ink bladders, which weren't used much after World War II. And I know they were from my folks or from my grandfather from Minnesota. They were in the desk.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there's any value of any of it, though.
Yes, there is. I will tell you that right away. Those ink blotters are fun because you're talking about that as an item in its own that we don't use anymore as an ink blotter.
Right.
But the ones you were describing are also advertising pieces.
Right. They are.
From those companies, and there's a lot of advertising collectors out there. That's quite a hot advertising area right now. And
they're about, I would say about 3 inches, a little over 3 inches by 6 inches.
Right. I've seen those, and I've actually had some that said Coca-Cola and different things, too. And so they're popular. I think that you're talking in today's market approximately $15 to maybe $25 a piece, depending on how elaborate the drawing is and how well-known the product is. So if you've got a whole collection, you've got something pretty nice there.
Yeah.
And the glass negatives that you mentioned between the war from India makes them kind of interesting, but I think American ones would probably be even more desirable to collectors. Seeing soldiers on it would make them very collectible.
Yeah. Well, my uncle was a missionary in India prior to World War II.
Yes, yes.
15 years.
Yeah.
They're black and white.
Sure, sure, they would be at that period. You know, I don't know that you'd have a lot of value there. Maybe something like $20 a piece or something.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I think it's your other collection
that's
valuable.
That's more valuable, yes. Thanks, Irvin. Jeanette in Sun Prairie. Hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hello there. I have these two large, whether it's 26 by 23, oak-framed color photos of train and a train track. Both of them, they were taken out in Colorado by the Detroit Photographic Company. And the copyright number on them, one of them is 1900 and the other is 1901. And they're beautiful there. And I was wondering how valuable it would be.
Well, there are train collectors that love those kinds of things. And they were probably, I didn't catch them, were they done as advertising for the trains?
Well,
or just,
I don't know. They're framed behind glass.
Mm-hmm.
My husband brought them home from a sale one time.
Okay.
About 4 years ago.
And, all right.
I don't really know, but there was a program years ago. And they were talking about the fellow that took these pictures. They said he had to be way up high to take them across. This one train
sure.
is way up high in the mountain.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Real, real old trains. You know?
Yeah, real old trains, and they didn't have the equipment that we have these days to get into places like that. No four-wheelers and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're really beautiful.
Yeah. Again, it depends on if we've got originals, if we've got prints that have been, you know, duplicated many, many, many times. But train. No,
they have a copyright 1900 and 1901 on.
Copyright dates. Those are good copyright dates. I did have an auction where I sold a lot of that kind of thing, railroad memorabilia, pictures, calendars, advertising from railroads. And we were seeing those kinds of things at that time a few years ago going in about the $50 to $125 a piece range. I would guess it's at least holding. You know, the economy hasn't let a lot of things go way up right now, but I would think it's at least holding or maybe climbing a little bit because the aviation, trains, all of that early transportation is collectible.
There you go. Thank you very much, Jeanette, for calling. We had an email from Jerry, who has several years of old Wisconsin Trails magazines, the ones before they had advertising. He's got the dates here, but his main question is, where can he find someone interested in buying them and how much might they be worth?
Boy, that's a question I've never had before. Wisconsin Trails is a very nice magazine, yeah. And there is interest in it. It's locally produced. I guess what I would do if I were going to look at that is go to some environmental clubs, maybe the local or state Sierra Club members and that kind of thing, and see if there's an interest there. People who it's Wisconsin Trails talks so much about tourist areas in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. ecology, and maybe bike trails, and what else, Larry? I know you're familiar with the magazine.
Yeah, it's and at that time it was that would have been probably the Deans owned it. They were the first ones to own it, or among the first ones to own it, if not the first. And so that's really what they were interested in promoting. And they covered their costs by the price they charged for the magazine.
And later they couldn't charge enough, so you'd have to sell advertising.
Yeah, later that advertising had to cover the costs. Right. So you might even contact the magazine itself.
The magazine itself, if they don't have them in their archives, sometimes they are interested. And sometimes, like, the Wisconsin Historical Society may have an interest as well. If they don't have all those early ones.
Yep, absolutely.
So those are a couple possibilities for you.
Is there any, Pat wonders, this is on Facebook, is there any value to the Sturgeon-Preston square-inch land deeds from the Yukon Territory? I remember those. And there were also in Florida, too. They had, you could buy a square inch of land in Florida. And I think Arizona, too, at one point, you could buy a square inch, and you sent your money in, and they sent you a deed.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's about as valuable as Green Bay Packers stock. I'm not sure.
Oh, man.
I really don't think there's going to be a lot. You know, there might be a little bit of value to it, just from the memory, the nostalgia, like we were talking about here, like Larry was kind of fondly remembering that. But in terms of real serious collector value, not much.
Yeah.
You know, a few dollars anyway, though, for fun, I think, more than anything.
And we had, Sue Nitsky had sent us wondering about some flowers or a vase, but the picture didn't come, so we don't have that. So we weren't able to comment on that one. But we do have one from Lynn, a love seat recovered. She had recovered a few years ago. Woman said it dated to about 1890, both armrests ratchet up or down separately.
Oh.
The wood legs and backboard are nearly perfect.
Okay.
This is kind of interesting.
It's an interesting piece. Looks like Empire style from the picture I can see partially on the internet here. We don't see the whole thing. It's an interesting thing to value these. Now, if we were valuing it for insurance purposes, I'd be looking into probably with the ratcheting arms, that was a thing you could kind of recline more.
Yeah.
And being recovered, it looks to be well restored. You know, you might be in $3,000, $4,000 of insurance value. But when we go to try and sell them, say at an estate sale or even in the antiques malls these days, that style, the Victorian, the early 1900s, just isn't popular right now.
No.
And also, in a lot of cases, that's not like a family piece of furniture. You'd have to have a very formal room And, you know, you don't want to sit on one of those old sofas too long while you're watching a football game or something.
No.
So that they're not as comfortable as today's furniture. So we see them often selling in the maybe $400 to $700 range if it's really special at those kinds of sales. So it's a big difference in what we can get for it as fair market value when it exchanges hands between a willing buyer and a willing seller and what you might need to insure it for. But it does look lovely.
Bill in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I have a 1951 Wurlitzer Model 1400 jukebox, and I'm wondering what the value on that is.
Well, jukeboxes are collectible, and you see those in people's, you know, man caves and rec rooms now a lot. And people love them in good working order, and they can pick out their own kind of music and put it on there. The ones that are fancier with lots of lights and that kind of thing and color do go higher than the other ones. And exactly your model, I'm not, you know, have to do research to get very close to them. But often we see them in the, probably $2,000 to $2,800 range a lot.
They're in good condition and work.
Right. Yeah, that's important.
There you go, Bill. Don in Grays Lake, Illinois. Hello to you.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have a lady's Rolex watch. It's probably 50, 60 years old. And it's a very small watch. It has removable bands. The bands slide on from the back, you know. So you and they come in different colors. There's probably about 8 or 10 of the bands. The watch itself is about just a little over a half inch in diameter. It's about 7/16 of an inch, and just a little bit over a quarter inch high.
And it works. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. It's a wind-up, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watches like this are really considered a jewelry item, and I am not a certified jewelry appraiser of fine jewelry. Now, I did take a Rolex watch for a client, a woman's Rolex watch, to a jewelry appraiser not so long ago, and she looked at that one, and we had to look at the serial numbers and the model numbers and everything else. You know, it's a very difficult thing because some of them were made for a short period of time. Some of them were made for a longer period of time because they were more popular. So to put you a real value on it is real difficult like this. I think it needs to be looked at a jewelry appraiser. The one we were looking at that day, we were looking in the $1,200 to $1,400 range. But I can't say that that's what yours is for sure.
A lot depends on a lot of different things there.
A lot of different things.
How do you find an appraiser in Milwaukee for original paintings by a female Texan artist?
I would go to the websites of the three major appraisal organizations, the AAA Appraiser Association of America, ASA, American Society of Appraisers, or the International Society of Appraisers, and do a search for fine art appraisers in Milwaukee. And if you can't find somebody that feels right in Milwaukee, I know there are a lot in Chicago marketing. And I think you'll find them in Milwaukee, though, too. I've seen some. And if they're accredited or certified by those organizations, and they're specialized in fine art, they can work with you on Texas regional art as well.
Shirley, thank you so much. Again, your website for your online auction and a lot of other things?
It's BaumanAuctions.com.
And that's B-A-U-M-A-N-N, two
that's
N's.
That's right, BaumanAuctions.com.
Always a pleasure, Shirley. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thanks to all the callers. It went so fast again today.
It was a lot of fun, and thank you for listening, and join us again tomorrow here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.